Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to continue through a series of messages that I've been preaching out of the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2. And I'm going to conclude that series with talking about here in Ephesians 2, beginning around about verse 18, the household of God. The household of God. Now, obviously, what I'm going to be talking about there is the church and the family of God. And when we speak of the house of God, the book of Hebrews deals with that, talking about sinners who are saved by grace and who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose house we are. You see, if we continue in the faith, that is, persevere by the grace of God and the power of God. The house of God is not a building, a literal physical building, or what we call commonly refer to as a church building. That's just a place where the household, the family, the people of God meet. And the apostle here in Ephesians 2 has been talking about how, first of all, he laid the foundation that salvation is totally and exclusively 100% a matter of God's grace. It's a free gift to the people of God. It's not they don't earn it. They don't deserve it. I know, some people, when they hear me say that, they kind of flinch, you know, but you mean we don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of the blessings and benefits of God's salvation because we are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We quote that verse all the time. And so salvation is by grace. And I spent some time dealing with that. And I quote this verse, this set of verses so often in my preaching. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Even the faith that brings us to Christ is a gift of God's grace. It's not natural to us. Faith, believing in Christ, is not the product of our free will or our just rising above the crowd and making a decision for Christ. The people of God do choose Christ, but they choose Him because He first chose them. They must be born again, or they cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. See, the new birth, regeneration and conversion is not the result of faith. Faith is the result of the new birth. And the Bible teaches that. And I've taught that so many times on this program and showed you scripture upon scripture about it. But anyway, salvation is the gift of God. It's by grace. And in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, he says, "For we are His workmanship." Now, a sinner saved by grace, an individual sinner saved by grace, and the whole group of sinners saved by grace, the house of God, the household of God, the family of God, they're the workmanship of God. They're not self-made people. They are not people who upon whom salvation was conditioned and who met those conditions, because by nature we're spiritually dead. We fell in Adam and born into this world spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, meaning that we have no propensity, no desire, no inclination for the things of God that glorify God. Now, that doesn't mean we're not religious. That doesn't mean that we are not moral in the eyes of men according to the laws of man. But it means that we will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not bow to God's way of salvation. So verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of this building, we're going to see. All of salvation was conditioned on Him from the very beginning, the salvation of His people, who were given to Him, the elect of God, that's who they are, and all of the conditions of their salvation and eternal well-being were placed upon Him, and He has fulfilled all those conditions. So the creation of this, the workmanship, is in Christ Jesus. It's all based upon His blood shed on Calvary's cross to put away the sins of His people. He redeemed His church, and we read in the book of Acts chapter 20, with His own precious blood. He bought the church, this building, this family, His people, His sheep. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he identifies them in John 6 as all whom the Father had given Him. I quote this verse all the time. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, unto good works, not because of good works now. But good works are the fruit and the effect, and which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now Paul, after that verse, beginning at verse 11, he makes the case that this salvation is true for both Jew and Gentile. It's not one way for the Jew and another way for the Gentile. And he shows that the church collectively is made up of God's chosen people, not just among the Jews, but out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, even Gentiles who are saved by grace and brought to faith in Christ. And God has brought them together. He calls it one new man. In other words, he metaphorically speaks of the collective church unified under Christ as one new person. And that's a metaphor. And so he says in verse 18, now let's go to our text, Ephesians 2, verse 18. He says, for through Him, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, we both. Now the both there refers to Jews, not all Jews without exception now, but believing Jews, sinners saved by grace, chosen before God, chosen by God before the foundation of the world, and it refers to believing Gentiles. Not all Gentiles without exception. But those who are sinners saved by grace, who have been brought to faith in Christ. And he says, for through Christ, by the grace of God, based on the righteousness of Christ. Now, what is the righteousness of Christ? That's the entire merit, value, worthiness of Christ's obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people, God's elect, His sheep, His church, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. In other words, the merit, the earning power, the value and worthiness that saves sinners is not in the sinner, but it's in Christ. And it's based upon His obedience unto death in their place. So he says, for through Him we both have access, a way provided, by one Spirit unto the Father. So there you have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father represents the authority of the Godhead. God the Son represents the way that sinners are brought into union and fellowship with God. God the Holy Spirit is the applier or the applicator of all that God the Father purposed and all that God the Son earned. Because when the Spirit comes and does His work in the new birth, what does He do? He convicts us of sin, showing us that we are dead in trespasses and sins, that we have nothing to recommend us unto God, that we cannot work our way into God's favor and blessings, that we are totally at His mercy. And if ever we're to be saved, it's going to be by grace. And then He convicts us of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And so He imparts, if you will, the faith, the knowledge, the conviction that we must have Christ or we are doomed. The only way we have access to God is through Christ, by His grace. Based on His blood, based on His righteousness that's freely imputed, accounted, charged to us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive Him by God-given faith. So when what He's talking about, here's the family of God. There's all kinds of people in this family. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, there's male, there's female, black, white, rich, poor. There's all kinds of people in this. But they all have the same problem. And that problem is sin. And sin alienates us from God. So in order for us to have access, a way to God, a way into the family of God, if you will, a way into the household of God, the sin problem has to be solved, has to be dealt with. Now we can't do it. We cannot do it. For by no man, by works of the law, shall no flesh be justified, forgiven, and declared righteous. But God sent His Son into the world to do for His people what they could not do for themselves. And Christ took care of the sin problem. And that's what the Spirit convicts us of. Now, if you look at verse 19, it says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners." You're not aliens from the household, the family, the kingdom of God. But you are fellow citizens. Now, not just citizens, but fellow citizens, and that means something. What that means is you are a full, in Christ, based by God's grace, based upon His blood shed to put away the sins of His people, based upon His righteousness imputed to them, which is the only ground of their justification, God's people, by His grace and mercy, are brought into the kingdom of God, the family of God, the household of God, and they are made full-fledged citizens with all the rights and privileges of a full-fledged citizen or a child of God. Every benefit, you see, there's no, there's an equality here that brings blessings and benefits to every one of God's children equally, because they didn't earn any of these blessings. We didn't earn any of them, and we don't deserve any of them. There's not, you know, preachers today, they talk about rewards in heaven, that if you work harder, you're going to get more rewards. No, you're not. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible talks about reward, singular, and it's always the reward of grace that's given to all of God's people in Christ. Now, when one person comes before God, and let's say they were saved for 50 years, and maybe they preached and brought many people to Christ, are they going to get more rewards than, let's say, the thief on the cross? And the answer is no. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that God's children, God's people, are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's an equality there, because none of us, in all my preaching, in all of my trying to do well, I have never earned or deserved one blessing or benefit of salvation. It's all, Any blessing or benefit I have, it's all of grace. And that's why people don't like the preaching of the gospel. That's why the natural man won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's offensive to him. You know, I've worked hard and I deserve more. Well, you may have in your job down here on earth, but in the kingdom of God, that's not possible. If God ever gave any of us what we deserve or what we've earned, it would be eternal damnation. Do you believe that? If you don't, you haven't been convicted of sin. You don't know yourself. So understand this. Now look at verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now what is a saint? A saint is a sinner saved by grace. The word saint means sanctified one. And what the point he's making here is that you don't have some Christians who are saints and then some who are not. This idea that a person has to be canonized or voted into sainthood by the hierarchy, that's crazy. That's unbiblical. That's anti-gospel. And it's anti-grace. Every sinner saved by grace is a saint. The word saint means sanctified one. And what is it to be sanctified? It's to be set apart by God. And every one of God's children were set apart by God before the foundation of the world when He chose them and gave them to Christ. They were set apart on the cross when Christ died for them, was buried, and arose again for them. They were set apart in Him redemptively. He redeemed me from my sins. And then they are set apart in time by the Holy Spirit when He brings them under the preaching of the gospel and separates them out by giving them faith in Christ and bringing them to repentance. That's called sanctification of the Spirit. And so they are set apart by the gospel. So what He's saying here is that every sinner saved by grace is a fellow citizen with the saints. In other words, every one of those saints, you're right with them. You're a saint too. And He said, and of the household of God. The family of God, the household of God. Now look at verse 20. Now this household, He says, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, when He says you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, He's not talking about these men personally. The church is not built upon the prophets like Samuel and Nathan and going down to Moses, who was a prophet. You can go on to Isaiah, Jeremiah. The church is not built upon these men. The church is not built upon the apostles, Paul and James and John and Matthew and Peter. You know, a lot of people, they'll go to that Matthew, I think it's in 16 passage where Christ says, who do men say that I am? And Peter spoke up and says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Christ made this statement. He said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And a lot of people read that and they think He's talking about Peter as the rock upon which He built His church. But He makes a distinction there. He says, you are Peter. You're a little stone. But upon this rock, this big boulder, I will build my church. And what is the rock upon which the church is built? It's Christ. And the foundation of the apostles and prophets is Christ. He says, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Christ is spoken of in this issue of the family of God as both the foundation of the church and the chief cornerstone of the church. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the apostle Paul uses the analogy. He uses actually two metaphors here, the metaphor of a farmer planting crops and of builders building a building. And he says, for example, in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3, he says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. In other words, you're the farm of God. You're the ones whom God planted and watered and grew up and harvested. And then he says, you are God's building in verse 9. And he says in verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, that's what he calls the preachers of the gospel. We're building when we preach the gospel. It's not by our power or our works, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He says, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. I preach the gospel first and another preacher comes along and he builds upon them by preaching the same gospel. And he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there you have it. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at this with me. He's talking about the church here. And he says, he talks about how believers, they come to Christ for salvation and they continue to come. And he says in verse 4 of 1 Peter 2, to whom coming to Christ, as unto a living stone, that's Christ, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And he goes on. Now listen to this, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, confused, or rejected. Now, Christ is the foundation stone. The church is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Don't let anyone ever tell you that it's built upon Peter. Peter is a sinner saved by grace. He's one of the little stones, like every believer, is like a little stone that God has put within this church, built upon the foundation of Christ. And then Christ is the chief cornerstone. That means everything in this building is measured as it relates to Christ. You see, in to be in this building, our sins have to be washed away, paid for. Christ did it for all of us, all of his people now, believers, not all without exception. And then I have to be righteous before God. Well, Christ is my righteousness, his righteousness imputed to me. And that's how I'm measured. God's going to judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he's given assurance unto all men, and he hath raised him from the dead. God's people, when they stand before God, they will be measured by the righteousness that Christ has given them, which God has imputed to them. You see, and anyone who's not in Christ, they'll perish. Well, back here in Ephesians 2, he says in verse 20, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's their message, their gospel, which presents Christ, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Every sinner saved by grace is saved by the blood of Christ, justified by his righteousness imputed, regenerated and converted by the Holy Spirit, brought to faith in Christ, repentance of dead works, perseverance in the faith, and they are put within this building fitly framed as God wants them to be. Your place, my place in the church is where God put us. And that's where we're to be content. And it's a holy temple. Now, what is holy mean? I mean, that's the same word as saint or sanctified. It means separated. And a temple is the dwelling place of God. That's Christ, who is the head of the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the heart of the church. You see that? And the church, and God dwells in his glory in Christ, who is the foundation, the head, and the heart of the church, his dwelling place. And then verse 22 says this, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The church is the dwelling place of God. Just like the tabernacle of old. What did the tabernacle represent? It represented Christ and His church. Every element of it. And therefore we see that the church, Christ and His church, is the dwelling place, the tabernacle of God. You might recall over in John chapter 1 and verse 14 where it talks about the incarnation of Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt there means tabernacled. Tabernacled. Because that tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. Remember when it was built, or when the instructions, when God gave instructions to Moses for the building of it. In Exodus, I believe it's 25. He told him, when he told him to build the holiest of all, and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that contained the law, he said, there will I meet with you. That was the greatest manifestation of God's glory at that time under the law of Moses, the law of Sinai. And it was a physical thing, a ceremonial thing. But today, where does it dwells in Christ and His church. And it's a spiritual and an eternal matter. And this is the household of God. This is the family of God. And that's what that's His whole point here. There's no divisions of people as far as our fellow citizenship and sainthood and the blessings and the benefits of being a member of the household and the family of God. There's not one who's done better and earned more, and those who have done less and earned less. No, there are people who do better in the sense of doing more, but that's not how we get into and maintain a place in the family of God. It's all of grace because we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not because of, but unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the household and the family of God. And there's no other. Built upon the foundation of Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.